Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the very mobile studios over the top, we're at the convention room of Fairfield Inn in the Dalles at the start-finish area of Race Across Oregon 2017. We're all pretty sleep-deprived, which means this could get kind of fun. And we're here with the overall champions, Ben Larson, Kenneth Philbrick, and congratulations on a great ride.
Thanks, George.
Thanks.
Now, your goal was to beat Noon for your finish, and you came in at 28 hours and 57 minutes, which was 11:57 in the morning. How do you feel about those 3 minutes? Where did you gain those?
Climbing Ty Ridge.
Yeah.
On the way back. Short pulls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing like 10 minute rotations, like bam, 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 bam.
Because that's a real kind of a sting in the tail of the course. I mean, you come out of Maupin, you've got the climb out of Maupin, you get a really nice descent, and then you've got a 5 mile, pretty steep little grunt that gets pretty hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it kicks you. But you rotate fast, and you just let the power out. I mean, you're that close to the finish, it's time to kick some ass.
We had a really small field this year, but you were in a really tight race with two other teams. It was fun to watch, and it stayed pretty close all the way till getting to 395 at Ukiah and turning toward Dale. What made the difference in that section, Ben?
Kenneth and I say, you know, our plan was that, you know, REO doesn't begin until nightfall, and that's when, you know, you ride all day. You know, 200 mile mark, a little bit beyond, and then you really want to be ready to turn it on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hot. There's no reason to do too much in the daytime, and a lot of people do. That's the time where you can really take the knife out and jab it in.
Now, you guys are both super competitive. How are you able to hold back even a little bit when you're in some especially tight racing like that? I saw you running down riders, but then you'd get passed, and what's that do to your psyche? Were you just like, man, you're playing into our game, or?
No, you'd like to think so, but no. I mean, you get pushed. I mean, and it was great having two other teams so close, because you're riding harder than what you thought you were going to have to.
No,
ride.
And that's how we get our finish time. I mean, if we were just racing for time, we'd probably still be on the course, because we'd just be soft pedaling the course. But
were you aware how close you were to Noon?
No. I mean, like, so we looked at the time, and going into the Clarinó climb, so we started doing tight rotations up Clarinó because we wanted to make time, but we had no idea how close we were. And then we started looking at it, and we hit Maupin, and we're like, and we can do this.
So how about the temperatures this year? I think the high I saw in my car was 90, which is almost 20 degrees cooler than it often is.
Yeah. No, I mean, so it was warm the first day, and then in the middle of the night, it was freezing as all get up. So
it was in the 40s.
Yeah. No. And so dropping through Mitchell, I was wearing a fleece and double leggings, and because I was freezing my ass off, and I'm going to do 50 miles an hour past Mitchell. And
George, I don't know. You seem to be like soft-hearted this year. You ordered up some really, you know, some kind weather.
Well, you had a lot of tailwinds on the ways out, which probably made it feel hotter, though.
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, the hottest part was climbing into Condon. I mean, we saw low 90s in the car up the canyon out of the John Day there. That was probably the hottest stretch.
Which, I mean, you've got walls on both sides of the road, and that's just kind of an oven. But, And then I was really worried about headwinds on the way in this morning because the temperatures were lower than normal. I was thinking that winds might be an issue for you. And, of course, you can be in a car and think, it's not windy at all. What was it like on the bikes?
There was some wind on Bake Oven.
There's always – I think they just turned the fans on.
Bake Oven. No. And then everything from once we hit the highway – highway all the way back here, we had wind.
Yeah.
Headwind.
On 197, as soon as we climbed out of Maupin, it was headwind.
So aero bars all the way except for climbing Tie Ridge?
Yeah, although, you know, tucking as well, you know, just in the drops. So
I brought an aero bike, but I ended up not riding it most of the time because it's just too aggressive. So I could descend faster on a road bike with just cow horns. And I could out descend people who were riding in aero bars.
Yeah. So you two raced two man a couple of times in the past in the mid 2000s. Kenneth, you then won solo and then kind of went your own ways. You've got a PhD now. You're at the Mayo Clinic. Ben, where are you now?
Still in Seattle and working at an energy efficiency consulting company. Been there almost 10 years.
So what was it that brought you back together this year to do the race as a two-person team, which I'm really glad you did?
So I just moved to Minnesota, and I was riding. I just had a goal. I was going to ride year-round in. In the middle of the winter, I'm going absolutely crazy because I it's cold, minus 20. I have cabin fever, and I called Ben up, and I'm like, "We got to do REO. Like, I need something that's going to get me through the winter." And so Ben thought about it for.
I thought about it. You know, after not doing REO and two man ultras for a while, I thought I would do another one. Eventually at some point, and I didn't know when, but. Yeah, so I thought it over, wanted to make sure I had time to commit to it, and it was a good choice.
And,
so.
I mean, not to get overly insulting here, but you're really pale. I see no tan at all on arms, legs.
Yeah.
I mean, so mostly indoor trainer, or were you out a lot? And I mean, you had really cold weather, both of you, throughout the winter.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of chances to get outside unless you're super bundled up and chanced a lot of time on snow and ice.
Yeah, no, and the mountains of Minnesota really don't give a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of cross-country skiing.
Oh, you did?
The last couple of seasons. And so that was all of my base training and I had trained for this year. Mm-hmm. And then I did cycling-specific work when the weather finally got a little less rainy in Seattle.
Now, how did you train for climbs? Because I tell people this course has no flat spots, and I don't think anybody believes me, but you rode the mountains just fine.
Well, it was wind training that really was the big thing. So what we don't have in Minnesota in mountains, we make up for in wind. And you can punish yourself to no end by riding out in the flat plains and getting just pummeled with wind.
And how about you in the cold rain of Seattle? You actually had a number of snow days this year.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was great because those kind of actually turned into ski days mostly. And then, I've also got to move to a house farther away from work. And so I'd sort of built in sort of 45 minute one way commutes to work on training. So
now what was your goal coming into the race?
It's what I've said every time I've ever done an ultra, it was to finish. And but you can't help but be competitive.
Yeah, like Kenneth, the goal that we set was just to finish. The idea is to have a good time and just enjoy. I mean, just enjoy the course. I mean, it's so fantastic to be on your bike and to be out with your crew. It's a great opportunity just to ride for, 36, however many hours.
No, so, 28 hours, 57 yeah. minutes. That's less than 29. So come on. So did you get your money's worth by going so fast? There's still what? Another 10 hours, 20 hours to go.
We got a little farther in the first day. So we got to see more, which was kind of cool.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because you do kind of ride through the most beautiful scenery at night, which is along 395. That is a really pretty part of the course. But when did the sun come up for you guys?
Just when we hit Service Creek, it started to change, and then we didn't really get sun until we were probably on Clarno or coming through Fossil.
Yeah. And the climbing out of Fossil, we got sunrise, but we were able to see climbing out of Service Creek.
Which is really good because the wind does die at night, usually, and it also keeps the temperatures down. So you were able to do Keys Creek and all of that during the cool.
Yes.
And even get onto Clarno when the heat wasn't coming up yet.
No, that was really nice. We were really happy that we were there so early.
I mean, the thing I always think about ultra, right, is that I've been fortunate to be really fast. But there's a lot of guys who will be out tonight till like 48 hours or whatever the maximum time is for them. And they, and good Lord, it's harder for them. I mean, and it's totally impressive. I think regardless of how you finish at an ultra, you should just feel totally pumped. Cause some of the hardest racing you can do is to drive yourself to go, there'll be people who go through the second night. And that's hats off to them. I mean, that's really impressive.
So relays versus solo, relays fun. I mean, two person is hard. I love that division, but it's still ultra. And so how do you guys, you've raced two person a lot.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm leading up to, we're going to see you again next year, of course, right? Yeah.
I mean, you can't miss REO. It's the perfect ultra. It's in an absolutely beautiful area, incredibly challenging course.
So yeah, we do try to keep you in areas where there are no cars, and we're looking to do a cross state for next year's 20th anniversary. This was the 20th edition, but we started it in 98. So next year's the anniversary ride. So we're already working on getting a cross state route permitted. That's around 600 miles. So Southeast Oregon to Northeast Oregon.
George,
diagonal awesome. Cross.
Yep, in a true George Thomas fashion. Not the shortest direct route. No. Across the whole
shortest
state.
Direct route has traffic.
Yeah. Good.
So
avoid it. Avoid it.
I'm even looking at possible gravel stretches, which I think would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Get you guys out on your fat bikes.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. So good experience this year. Any low points that you had? You always looked pretty pumped when we went by you. So you're either good actors or.
No, I mean, it was when you have a great, it's one of these things. I mean, I've had great races and I've had bad races. And we, at least up speaking for myself, I had a great race. It was just road tempo. We had great competition, beautiful course. I mean, you can't ask for more.
Yeah, and you always go through bad patches. You're kind of tired, or maybe you get a little ornery, or your stomach's slightly gurgling at you, or something. But every time I got out to do a pull, I was excited. I wanted to be on the bike. It was just a super great experience. So,
what was your typical pull distance? Not when you were doing the short pulls, obviously, but were you kind of looking at 20 to 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Well, it's great visiting with you. you've had a chance to clean up, which is always nice. It's the first time I've had a shower before the first riders came in. So I want you to get a good rest, and we'll see you at tomorrow's breakfast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. Congratulations to the team. Ben Larson, Kenneth Philbrick. Great ride.
Thanks, George.
Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.